Welcome to Health Talk, the health news, information, and wellness podcast brought to you by UVM Health Network, delivering trusted local care and a network of expertise to more than 1 million people in Vermont and Northern New York. I'm Amanda Wild, your host, and today we're getting an insider's view of UVM Medical Center's Transgender Youth Program. The program provides care for gender-diverse youth and their families through a multidisciplinary team of medical, psychological, and social work providers. With me today are adolescent medicine specialist and director of the program, Dr. Erica Gibson, clinical psychologist, Dr. Madison Smith, and social worker, Josh Shamoon, all members of the program's clinical care team. Welcome and thank you all for being here today as we explore what is often a deeply misunderstood and highly emotional subject. Dr. Madison Smith, start us off, please, by describing what is gender-affirming care for young people. How do you define that?
So gender-affirming care is a broad term that can refer to any combination of social, legal, and medical measures that help individuals feel healthy, safe, and authentic in their gender. So it's not a single category of services, but instead a range of services. So for example, some individuals may request others to use a specific name or pronouns. Other individuals may seek a medical intervention to prolong puberty in order to increase the clarity around their gender identity, and whereas others may seek both. I think it's important to note that at all ages, clear, well-established, evidence-based standards of care exist for who can access what form of gender-affirming care and when they're eligible to receive it. Gender-affirming care is medically necessary for the well-being of many transgender and non-binary people who experience symptoms of gender dysphoria or distress that results from having one's gender identity not match their sex assigned at birth. So therefore, gender-affirming care is the process that involves taking into account all aspects of a young person to ensure that their individual, their mental, and their physical needs surrounding their gender identity and expression are met.
Well, what does that mean, meeting people where they are? And why is that important to the program?
So because gender-affirming care is such a broad term and there is no size fits all, when we refer to meeting people where they are, we mean that we strive to have a holistic approach and take into account all different aspects of the individual, their support system, their gender-related goals, and other salient factors. So some of the things that are really critical to us and that we're aware of is some of these pertinent factors that can affect a young person's well-being, including their level of support within their family system or within their community, if there are any comorbid diagnoses, if there's any discrimination experienced. We really want to have a good sense of all of those different factors and then work to partner with the young person and their caregivers to make sure that the support and services that we're offering are aligned with what the young person and the family is looking for.
Mm-hmm. Well, Josh, as a social worker, case manager, you're often the first person patients speak with after being referred to the program. So can you take us through that initial process of meeting with a patient and maybe with their family for the first time? What are the things you focus on?
So generally, I call the parent, talk to them, and really focused on relationship building and gathering information. Really depends on the needs of the families. It's one of the first questions as I kind of introduce our program. And then I ask, you know, what's going on with your family? What are your needs and your goals that you're looking for right now? And some families are very early in the process and some families have been talking about this for a while. So it really depends, like Madison was saying, on where the families, where the patients are at, what the needs are, and how much information is needed, how much support is needed for these parents, and providing what I can.
Are there common questions that everyone has about the program and the care the clinic offers?
Yeah, clinically, there's a lot of, I think people want to know a lot of what is the next step, what are the possibilities. There's a lot of conflicting information that people may have run into online, and they just want to get the research-based information and know what that I've heard is true and what is not. Generally, I would say really what parents want to know on a more emotional level is, how do I support my kid? What is best for my kid?
So I was just going to ask that. What role do the patients play in the program's process? Sounds like there's a lot of support that you're seeking to engender, first of all, between the program and the families and your patients?
Really, it's just we start with the information gathering. What are the goals? Sometimes people don't have goals. Some people just say, I don't really know. I need some support figuring out what I need. So really just getting that information a lot of times through this phone call I do, through the psychology visits. That's one of the reasons we have such an extensive process of this isn't a one-size-fits-all type of treatment. This is really individualized to specific needs of the patients, of the families. There's a lot of nuances that might come up, and just getting that information so we can get that info to them so they can make the best decision. Really, we don't decide anything. One of the guidelines is that we're not favoring either outcome, any type of outcome. We're really just trying to do what's best for them, help the family figure out what that is.
And it sounds like it's patient-driven. You keep saying you want to know their goals so you can individualize their treatment plans.
Yeah, definitely. We're not just saying we're going to do whatever you want, of course, but we're going to go through the guidelines and follow the recommendations. But really, it's working with what their goals are and providing what information. Sometimes it's medical information. Sometimes it's more emotional or psychological support. Sometimes it's helping people find community with other parents in the world so that they have a space to talking about this process and these things that are coming up for them.
Well, these are some of the reasons the UVM Medical Centers program is the most comprehensive in Vermont. Dr. Gibson, as director of the program, can you talk a little bit about the different aspects of the program and how your team brings them all together to make a positive impact?
Sure. I think Dr. Smith and Josh have already done a pretty incredible job at describing a lot of what we do. But just to reiterate, there are really different social, psychological, and medical aspects to gender-affirming support and care. And even though our program is really small, we can provide some support in all of these areas. And we also have a really strong network of community-based folks in Vermont and Northern New York, primary care providers, schools, mental health providers, social service agencies, community-based organizations that also support these young people and families. In terms of establishing care with our program to discuss possible future medical interventions, because we are one of the main programs that provides that, after folks speak with Josh, our next step is to schedule them for a more extended informational visit with either one of our psychologists or one of our medical providers, again, as they said numerous times, depending on the needs. It is recommended under our guidelines for care that we complete what we call a biopsychosocial assessment. And you really just heard quite a bit about that from Dr. Smith and Josh. And the goal, again, of that assessment is to just understand a young person's current gender identity, their experience to date, and any key factors that might be affecting their journey. We do also strive to understand any complex co-occurring psychosocial or mental health issues that they or their family may be struggling with. And it is really important also to understand in care with us that medical interventions only become an option once a young person has started puberty. So prior to puberty, we really focus just on connecting families to psychosocial supports that they might want or need. And if they do decide to proceed with medical intervention with us, then our medical providers really spend some quality time discussing in detail how medications work, how they might help someone, what short-term and long-term side effects might include, and we also review the need for ongoing close medical monitoring and follow-up visits should someone decide to start a medication. It's really similar to any other medical visit where medical interventions are being discussed, and it's also important to understand that a young person under 18 years old does actually need parent or guardian consent to begin any medical interventions with us. And that's something that folks often don't quite understand or worry about, that young people under the age of 18, minors, access this care on their own and without family involvement. As you mentioned earlier, this is patient and family-centered care that we're trying to provide for folks.
Plus, there's a team, which you've described, that you put into effect for gender-affirming care, and you marry that expertise from medical, from UVM's program, together with this program.
Exactly. And we create what fits the needs of the young person and the family. So any one family, you know, might not need all the different aspects, and we help sort that out with them.
So with all that going on, Dr. Gibson, let me ask you this. What impact have you seen the program make on individuals and or families?
We see a lot of joy in our clinic, and that really confirms for us how important it is to have access to this care. We see joy and relief from both young people and their families. In general, people are incredibly thankful, and we routinely see young people move from struggling to thriving throughout their care with us, thriving in their affirmed gender identities, in their families, at school, in work, in relationships. The journey isn't always without bumps and challenges, but usually it proceeds pretty smoothly. Unfortunately, a lot of the persistent challenges folks face relate to the ongoing lack of understanding amongst other people about what it is like to live as a transgender or gender diverse individual. But through a program like ours, we are lucky enough to be able to really collaborate with young people, families, and communities to help them live as full and healthy a life as possible, despite some of the challenges that are beyond our control.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Smith, can you pick that up? What do patients and their families say about the challenges they face? Are there common themes that come up frequently?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of things that come up, and specifically kind of related to what Dr. Gibson was saying around just like the information that's out there and some of the misconceptions around trans and gender diverse youth. I think one of the things that I see a lot of is misinformation, and I think that is a problem. We see in parents, like Josh was saying, trying to do the best that they can to support their kids or young people in their life. And we've seen misinformation for some people increase the fear that they have in caring for the young person in their life. We've seen people have a difficult time when they first come to our program, not being really sure around the healthcare decisions that are available and the potential impacts. And I've seen some parents who are avoiding doing any research at all due to the fear of, is this accurate information that I'm consuming? So I definitely see misinformation as one of those challenges that patients and families are struggling to navigate with so much out there.
I would add that one of the challenges to that is because of a lot of the rhetoric out there. A lot of the anti-trans rhetoric is based on questioning the validity of someone's identity. So it can be really challenging for parents to question their kids in a very supportive way, as a parent would do, and say, hey, let's talk about this. Are you sure about this? Because it can sometimes just that little bit of wording can mimic inadvertently a lot of the anti-trans rhetoric and make it really challenging to talk to the children about. So I think having the space through our program to kind of go through these conversations to work out some of that stuff with support is really helpful for families.
So you see that misinformation is kind of a major problem, and it does impact patients, but the program helps with that as well. Dr. Gibson, do you see these challenges easing or changing in the future?
That's a great question. This is a hot topic right now. There's a lot going on all sides. There's a lot going on within our field as we strive to optimize this care and provide young people and their families what we need. Unfortunately, in many states and countries, as you probably know, a lot of the challenges are increasing. We are really lucky that in Vermont and many other states and some countries, access to care and supports is respected, protected, and is actually expanding. And here in Vermont in particular, we have a lot of folks that are fully committed to protecting and caring for transgender and gender diverse youth and their families. But we still need to remain really vigilant about preserving that. I do have hope that our upcoming generation of young people, allies, care providers, will only further impress upon the world the importance of this care. And I do hope that more people will come to understand that being transgender or gender diverse has always been and always will be a normal part of human existence. But I think in the near future, we're going to continue to see a lot of discussion and ongoing evolution of the care we're providing. So I think it's tough to answer right now, but I have hope that things will ease.
And thank you all for your efforts in that direction. It makes a huge difference. And thank you all for providing some clarity and insight into gender-affirming care. That was Dr. Erica Gibson, Director of UVM Medical Center's Transgender Youth Program, clinical psychologist Dr. Madison Smith, and social worker Josh Shamoon. Thank you for listening to Health Talk by UVM Health Network, and thanks again to our panel for sharing their expertise and experiences with us. Join us next time as we discuss another important healthcare topic. You can find us online at uvmhealth.org/healthtalk. And for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks for listening and have a great day.